As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you eat certain things, you feel sluggish, or you're like, ugh, why did I eat that? But on a cellular level, on just the microscopic level, you know, at a blood vessel level, right? The inflammation and the common denominator and a lot of the chronic diseases that we see is inflammation, right? And so a lot of that inflammation is what we're eating and how it's processed.
Welcome to Veggie Doctor Radio. I am your host, Dr. Yami, board-certified pediatrician, certified lifestyle medicine physician, certified health and wellness coach, author, speaker, mother, wife, and human being. I passionately believe in the power of diet, habits, and mindset in sparking and sustaining well-being and joy in our lives. This podcast combines expert interviews and thoughtful monologues to explore plant-based nutrition, lifestyle medicine, parenting, mindset, and other exciting and fun topics. I hope that these episodes inspire you, uplift you, and equip you with the knowledge and tools to live your best life. Are you ready to get started? Let's do it. Dr. Monique May, the physician in the kitchen, is a board-certified family physician who enjoys helping busy households embrace healthy plant-based eating without impacting their hectic schedules. She is a vegan chef, and she is also a 2-time best-selling author. Her first cookbook, Doc Fix My Plate, The Physician in the Kitchen's Prescriptions for Your Healthy Meal Makeover, is now available. She's a native New Yorker, but she now lives in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. And when she is not busy creating recipes in her kitchen, which she refers to as her lab, she enjoys visiting farmers markets, shopping for kitchen gadgets, traveling, and exercise. You can follow her at Physician in the Kitchen. This conversation with Dr. May was about her plant-based journey and how she discovered plant-based nutrition, how it affected her life and her health, how she decided to become a plant-based chef, and why she's so passionate about teaching others how to eat and cook plant-based foods. We also learned from her what she sees her clients struggle with the most when transitioning to a plant-based diet, and her tips for people transitioning to a plant-based diet. So this is a great episode where you can learn a few little nuggets of information. So I appreciate you being here and listening. I will apologize. I am recovering from laryngitis and a gnarly cough. So there are times that you could tell that I was really wanting to cough, but I was trying to hold it in because having this cough reflex is horrible. And I'm on day 11 and almost better, but not quite. But the show must go on. So sometimes you're going to get me in this condition. Hopefully not very often because I rarely get sick. But this one was a doozy. I'm so glad that I'm not sick all the time. So thank you so much for being here and for listening to this episode. And I hope that you love it. Remember that the information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment by a healthcare professional. So if you have concerns about you or your child's eating, nutrition, or growth, please consult a healthcare professional. Dr. Monique May, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm super excited to get to know you and hear your story. So let's start out with how you discovered plant-based nutrition. How did you transition to a plant-based diet, and how has it affected your life and your health?
Sure. Well, long story short, as a family practitioner with 20 years of clinical experience, of course, I saw all types of manifestations of chronic illness, from high blood pressure to diabetes, heart disease, cancers, you name it. And of course, those issues affected my own family members. I lost my beloved grandmother at the age of 67 to complications from a stroke caused by obesity, smoking, high blood pressure. And I have some, you know, some scary family history on both sides. So in 2020, when I turned 50, right around the time I turned 50, I discovered this book called How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. And it really was a game changer for me, where he, for those who don't know, he takes the top, I think, 15 to 17 causes of death in this country, and really, like cancers, heart disease, et cetera, and breaks it down with the role that diet plays, and really why plant-based is the way to go. And then I also watched some documentaries about how foods are processed, particularly meat, and it's kind of scary. And but for me, actually, you know, I wasn't really a big red meat eater, so that wasn't a hard thing to give up. But, you know, turning 50 and then at the onset of the pandemic was, you know, I really wanted to do what I could to, you know, go into the second half of my century as healthy as I could. And so that's kind of how I got here.
And did you discover any health impact in the change that you made, and how difficult was it to make the transition for you?
So I would say probably the biggest impact I've seen so far is the effect on my cholesterol. Fortunately, I didn't have to take medication. My cholesterol was never high enough that it required medication, but so still all the numbers were still within normal range. But just since adapting the plant-based diet, those numbers have almost halved. It was just amazing to see the impact they've had. And I think, you know, overall, I just feel better. I just, you know, I had already kind of aged out of eating McDonald's, right? You get to a certain age, you're like, I can't eat that stuff anymore. So you want to eat food that makes you feel good, doesn't make you feel guilty or sluggish or blah. And so I really can say that, you know, my diet really does check those boxes. And then as far as was it difficult? Really, because I refer to my kitchen as my lab. And I also went right around the same time I attended a vegan culinary school online. And the purpose of that was to be able to learn more about cooking with, you know, a plant-based pantry, plant-based kitchen. And so I like trying to figure out how I can substitute X for Y and what I can create. So no, it hasn't been really challenging for me, because I enjoy it. I like to problem solve, that kind of thing, and just trying to play with different textures and flavors and so forth. So that's been a really big fun part of the journey for me.
That's amazing. And I'm glad you brought up the cholesterol issue, because in the United States, our cutoff for cholesterol, for total cholesterol in adults, is just that it should be under 200. But I think it's about 25% of people that are experiencing heart attacks with a, quote, normal cholesterol, which means that a lot of us are probably falsely walking around feeling like, you know, pretty confident that we're fine, nothing bad's going to happen. But, you know, every individual is a little bit different, and there can be improvements made there, even if it is, quote, within the normal range for our standards. So I think that that's really important to know for a lot of people, that not to get overconfident just because you think that your cholesterol is in the normal range. Were you still practicing at that time that you transitioned to a plant-based diet, or when did you end your family practice years?
So no, I actually left clinical practice at the end of 2018. So I practiced family medicine in all of its facets for 15 years. And that includes, you know, hospital work, nursing home, patient home visits, a little bit of everything, you name it. And so I did that for 15 years. And then for 5 years, I was the medical director of an urgent care workers' comp clinic. So I transitioned out of primary care, and for 5 years, I was, you know, if you got hurt at work, I was a doc you came to see. And so when, by the time I went plant-based in 2020, I had been out of clinical practice for just about a year or some change.
It seems like once you learned about it, you've become very passionate about it. So tell me where you've taken your newfound knowledge and passion for plant-based nutrition. How are you applying that?
Sure. Well, in a variety of ways. I have a funny story. This is homecoming season for, you know, a lot of colleges and universities. And so a couple of weeks ago, we were at a homecoming, and I already knew there was, you know, at a tailgate. So, you know, what's at a tailgate, right? All manner of you know, animal products. And so I took my own. I made a delicious chickpea tuna salad with some multigrain chips. And I had some, a grilled, tandoori, you know, it's Diwali season. So I got a recipe for, grilled tandoori chicken, and I did it with some tofu, and it was shit. I had the grill marks on it. It was beautiful. And I even had my own little dessert. I had some vegan chocolate cookies. So everyone's sitting around me eating whatever. And so in fact, the host of the tent we were at was like, well, you know, maybe next year we can, you can do something for it. You know, we can get together. So just let me know. So yeah, as far as how I get the word out, I mean, I started my brand Physician in the Kitchen. I've written a cookbook, Doc Fix My Plate, The Physician in the Kitchen's Prescriptions for Your Healthy Meal Makeovers. And it's kind of just a how to get started, because, you know, I tell people all the time, nobody wakes up and says, hey, I want to be unhealthy today. I want to be obese. I want to, you know, but it's kind of the default, or it's easy in this country to become unhealthy or to eat unhealthy. So, you know, and I certainly didn't learn this stuff in medical school. You know, I graduated med school in 96, right? And so I hope it's better now, but I don't know as far as, like, you know, med school curricula and nutrition, because we used to just write an order, right? If a patient came in with diabetes, consult the dietitian. They come in with heart failure, you know, low salt diet. But we weren't dooming that, you know, here's the type of food that's going to help people, well, you know, when they're in the hospital, they've got the disease, but how you can mitigate with a you know, anti-inflammatory diet or foods that are high in anti-inflammatories and so forth that will, you know, positively impact your sugars and things like that. So I offer cooking classes, coaching. I'm so excited to be starting a new service called Doc Fix My Pantry. So it's a consultation service where people can, via Zoom or what have you, you know, I kind of peek in their pantry, and we can go over, you know, what are some staples, some basics that you want to have, whether you want to be fully vegan or plant-based, or you're just starting to test the waters. But some of the things that are good to have, because as you're making these substitutions and you want to recapture the textures and the taste that you know, you may be familiar with, I'm here to kind of help with that process. So I'm excited to get the word out. I do it on my social media, Physician in the Kitchen, as well, whether it's recipes or, you know, my new favorite thing or whatever, what have you. So that's how I get my passion for both, you know, cooking and good food and education, you know. So instead of being one-on-one with patients in the exam room, I'm now able to take that message on a more, much more global or wider audience.
I love that. What do you think is the number one thing that people struggle with when they're wanting to transition to a plant-based diet, or even just say, I want to eat more whole plant foods? What do you feel is hardest for most people?
From talking to people, I'd say two different things. One is they feel like they either, it's all or nothing. They feel like they kind of have to go plant-based, or, you know, cold turkey, no pun intended, but, you know, do it all at once. And they sometimes are afraid they're not going to get enough protein. You'd be surprised, people are like, oh, I'm not going to get enough protein if I eat a plant diet. Because we've been kind of conditioned in this country that, you know, muscles are made of protein, and you need to eat your meat to get those big muscles. But, you know, what are some of the largest animals on the planet? You know, elephants and, you know, bison and, you know, whatever else. And they don't eat meat, right? They eat grass. And so kind of just overcoming some of those misconceptions or myths that people have, that they've grown up with. And then just they're concerned that they'll have to be in the kitchen all day. Like I said, it's hard to implement. Or the other thing I find too is reading labels, because some of these terms, you know, people think that they see vegan, organic, or low fat, or low sodium on a package. And they think it means it's completely, oh, you can just eat it. But what they don't realize is just because it's labeled vegan doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you, right? Because there's going to be processed vegan food that's not good for you. So getting them to realize the real benefit is going to be in the whole food plant-based, and making just baby steps, you know, really just, it's a marathon. You're not going to get there overnight. If you've been eating a certain way your whole life, it's not, you know, necessarily realistic to think you're going to just, you know, flip a switch and everything's going to be all plants and there won't be any adjustments. So, just, you know, sharing with them kind of my process. I started a blog, chronicling my process and my journey. And so the recipes that I created with ingredients that I discovered along the way. So it just kind of that transparency that, you know, I'm in this too.
Yeah. There's a lot of misconceptions of what healthy food is in our country because, you know, things get thrown around and, you know, there's a lot of false beliefs. So I'd love to know, especially since you work with people and overhauling their pantries in their kitchen, what is something that's typically found in the American refrigerator or the American pantry that people really think is healthy, but really is not as health promoting as people think?
I would say snacks is where people probably get into the bigger amount of trouble, so to speak, because again, these labels will say organic or vegan, or well, she says vegan, it should pretty much be vegan, but they may think that organic means healthy, and it doesn't. Organic is just how something is grown without certain pesticides and so forth. So I mean, because sugar is organic, right? Sugar can be organic. So I think reading labels is important because when they're shopping for snacks or they want to have just, you know, things in their pantry, like, you know, fruit roll-ups, when you hear fruit, you're like, oh, of course that's gotta be healthy. But no, because you look at the ingredient list and it's, you know, chemicals and fruit flavors, which, you know, based on how the FDA has allowed manufacturers to come up with descriptions, some of these words can be applied, but then you're like, well, what does that really mean? Like low sodium or low salt. Well, if they're taking out salt and fat and sugar, they may be putting something else in. And so to get that flavor. So I would say probably choosing healthy, unprocessed snacks, I think would probably be one of the best places to start with as far as kind of overhauling someone's pantry.
Yeah. As a pediatrician, I will say that snack foods in the United States is classified as its own food category, which includes the number one snack food in children, which is Goldfish crackers. So one thing that I tell parents is, snacks don't have to be a separate food category. In fact, most of the time when kids are asking for snacks, what they're asking for is ultra processed foods that are hyper palatable, and they're often not actually hungry. They just want the Goldfish crackers or the granola bars. So trying to focus more on whole foods, and anything can be a snack. Like you can have leftover dinner. You can have leftover lunch for a snack. It doesn't have to be something that came in a box and is hyper palatable. So I agree with you on that one, in that we have developed an entire industry around snacking, and most of these foods are all ultra processed. And what one of my biggest pet peeves is that people categorize these foods as carbs because, you know, carbs are bad, right? Carbs are the enemy. But if you look at the nutrition facts, most of the time they're at least 30 to 40% fat, because in order to make it tasty, just like you said before, they got to add all the oils in there. They got to add the sugars in there, and they got to add a bunch of salts in there. I know my husband nearly passed out when he loved after he would go skiing. Like he's a big skier here. So he would go skiing all day. And then on the way home, his little treat was a bag of Gardettos, but it wasn't like a tiny bag of Gardettos. It was one that had like four servings in there. And then he would eat the whole thing. Anyway, so he left the wrapper in there one day, and I just picked it up and started reading. It had like almost 1500 milligrams of salt and, you know, like 40 grams of fat or something ridiculous. It's basically this ultra processed combination of sugar and salt and fat. And then once he found that, he was like, okay, that's it. No more Gardetto. So sometimes you just have to know what you're consuming, but it's so normalized that a snack has to be these foods. A snack doesn't have to be those foods. It's just about, you know, retraining your brain and coming up with different habits.
I know you're busy. So am I. But do you have 2 minutes? If you have just 2 minutes, you have enough time to eat healthy, nutritious meals. The solution to your overscheduled life is Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. These meals are chef-crafted, fresh, and never frozen, and they are delivered straight to your doorstep. They offer a weekly menu of 35 options, including vegan and veggie meals. They also have 60 add-ons each week, including breakfast, snacks, and beverages like smoothies and juices. The fresh juice shots are so good. This week, I got to try the peanut Buddha bowl that had sweet potatoes, broccoli, quinoa, veggies, and a yummy peanut sauce, and the tangy citrus tofu bowl that included cauliflower rice, sweet potato, tofu, edamame, chickpeas, and a tangy citrus sauce. They were super yummy. My husband and my son loved them too. The meals feature premium ingredients, and because they are fully prepared and ready to heat, it eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. It's an amazing option for those seasons in life that are particularly time constrained. You can also pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. In April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long and will use Earth Month Eats badges on their lowest carbon footprint meals. Are you ready to try Factor? Head to factormeals.com/DrYami50. That's DrYami50 and use code DrYami50. That's DrYami50 and get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code DrYami50 at factormeals.com/DrYami50. That's DrYami50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited process ingredients. Green Chef sends organic fresh produce and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. Find recipes for every lifestyle, including plant-based diets. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited process ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium smart options. Choose from 80 plus flavor packed options and take back time in your kitchen with dinner ready in 30 minutes and lunch in 10. Try 15 plus new recipes every week. Green Chef will deliver everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, some produce which is pre-chopped, and custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are really simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. We've really enjoyed using Green Chef, trying out all the delicious recipes, as well as saving time. It takes a lot of the work out of planning meals and gathering the proper ingredients so that you can just cook and enjoy your meal. It's a great option for busy families that want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table. And I know a lot of us worry about waste, and we do everything we can to reduce waste. So this may be one of your hesitations when subscribing to this type of service. Well, Green Chef also cares about the planet. April is Earth Month, and sustainability is a core to the Green Chef brand. Green Chef offsets 100% of delivery emissions and 100% of plastic in each box. Green Chef also partners with Plastic Bank to collect ocean-bound plastic pound for pound for every box they deliver. If you're frustrated by lack of time to eat healthy and you are ready to try Green Chef and see how easily you can integrate it into your healthy lifestyle, go to greenchef.com/IAmHuman50, that's IAmHuman50, and use code IAmHuman50, IAmHuman50, to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. So go to greenchef.com/IAmHuman50 and use code IAmHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with products intended to bring your mind and body back in harmony. They consider themselves a by women and for women company, and they now offer a nutrient-dense green powder called Daily Nutri-Greens. Myself and my staff here at Nourish Wellness all tried the Daily Nutri-Greens and we loved it. The Daily Nutri-Greens contain an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. It also contains other important nutrients such as B12, iron, zinc, and selenium. The Daily Greens are certified organic and all you have to do is mix it with water, but you can also easily add to your smoothies, your oatmeal, or your baked goods. The Daily Nutri-Greens are vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. And another bonus is that the packaging is compostable. Yay! When I tried the apple banana Daily Nutri-Greens, I was surprised by the pleasant and mild flavor. It was easy to prepare and drink and didn't leave any aftertaste. And I felt great afterwards. It's really easy to create a daily ritual around your green drink. Integrate it into your daily self-care routine. A green powder is one way to fill the gap in daily nutrition and is an easy and convenient way to get in your greens. These powders are a great way to add more nutrients into your diet during busy times, travel, and transitions in life when you don't have time or access to fresh green veggies. If you're interested in trying Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens, head to myeq.com and use code Dr. Yami, that's DRYAMI, for 15% off Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens and much more. That's myeq.com and use code Dr. Yami, DRYAMI, at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
What would you say is your favorite tip for people transitioning to a plant-based diet? Where do you usually tell them to start?
I tell them to identify their why first. And because I think everything starts with your mindset. If you want to be successful at anything, not just your diet or overhauling your lifestyle, you have to have the mindset to be successful. So, you know, as physicians, we tell people, yes, you know, your cholesterol is this and your blood pressure is this and you need to do this and you need to do that. But until, you know, and I know you can think of at least one patient from your own clinical experience where you can talk to somebody till they're blue in the face. But until they connect or they identify why it's important, what you're saying, and more so in adults, you know, maybe not as much with kids, but once they identify why this, you know, what we're saying is important to them, then they're more likely to be successful. Because, you know, they'll otherwise be like, yeah, you know, I went to the doctor today. She was fussing at me again about blah, blah, blah. But until they really identify their why, and it should be something, you know, internal. It should be something for them. Do they want to live longer for their kids or for their, you know, they're tired of not being able to sleep and breathe at the same time, you know, whatever it is. And so I think that's a very important part of it. But the other thing is just starting where you are and showing yourself some grace. Because again, you know, if you're trying to undo years of, you know, emotional eating, right? How many, as a pediatrician, I'm sure, how many parents or families well-intentioned use food as a reward, right? You know, oh, if, you know, if you eat all your dinner, you can have dessert or you can, or whatever, you know, you got a good report card, let's go get ice cream or what have you, whatever the thing is, and that's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that becomes like the pervasive pattern, then those associations are going to be made and they can be lifelong. And so as an adult, if you're trying to address or reverse that, show yourself some grace, do some work to find out, you know, maybe if it's just journaling or keeping a food diary, you know, when I feel this, you know, I ate this today and I was feeling this or this happened at work or what have you, so that people can start to kind of put some of those pieces together and you know, tap into why they're eating some of the things that they're eating. So, and then if you're trying to go plant-based, I tell people, you know, pick one day out of the week, pick one meal out of the week, you know, and to test the waters. Because you don't want to set yourself up for failure by thinking, oh, okay, I've got to do all this. And then you get overwhelmed and frustrated and you're just like, oh, I just give up and, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. So, and then seeking out, you asked me for one piece, so I've given you more than one. So let me stop there.
No, that's great. That's super helpful information. And I agree with everything that you've said, that it's a journey and it's a process. It's for most people, it's not going to be an overnight easy switch, especially after years and years of following the same habits and eating the same foods. But I definitely agree with the emotional eating part. And I think that one of the reasons the food industry, it's like a vicious cycle. The food industry is sustained because we've all become emotional eaters. You know, we eat to change our feelings. We eat to celebrate. We eat because we're sad. And it's very socially accepted and promoted. It's, in fact, it seems like the commercials are promoting overeating as like a thing we should do, you know, like eat as much as possible, you know, which of course benefits the company trying to sell the food, right? So you have to kind of see through it with those eyes as well. But for a lot of people, just to know that it doesn't have to be all or nothing is a really good start, because that way they can start focusing on what to incorporate into their diets instead of what to take out. Because sometimes if we're just telling them, okay, don't eat this, don't eat that, it feels like a punishment. And that anxiety and that stress actually leads to more overeating, because you're starting to develop this sense of scarcity, like, oh my God, I'm never going to eat my favorite foods again. But the amazing thing about plant-based nutrition is you can eat all of your favorite foods. And what I've discovered, you know, I've been plant-based, it'll be almost 13 years. In fact, I like it better. Like, it tastes better because it feels better in your body. Like whenever you eat a plant-based pizza or a homemade pizza you make at home, you don't feel like sluggish and weighed down. You feel good. It was delicious flavor. But it feels good in your body too. So it's good during and it's good after. But sometimes when you have those foods that, you know, aren't so health promoting, maybe it tastes good, but by a few minutes or a few hours after, you're just like, that was not a good decision, you know?
Right. Especially the older you get, I think that's very true.
Absolutely. I know that I was looking at some meme somewhere talking about how people in their 20s, they would get hung over from drinking alcohol. But once you get to a certain age, you get hung over just from overeating at dinner. You know, like you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, I'm all puffy. Why do I feel so bad? Right. You know,
I did a talk on Saturday to some high school seniors or high school students and about the freshman 15. And because we were talking about emotional eating. And one of the points I made with them is learning how to listen to your body. I think that's the other thing, is we push past those satiety, you know, cues when your body's telling you, hey, look, you know, I'm good. Like I'm getting full or I'm full. And either because we've been told we have to clean our plates, or we just are afraid, well, you know, it's so good, I'm never going to eat this again. Let me eat all of it. Or eating too large portions, you know, whatever it is, we tend to, or sometimes we can kind of blow past those, you know, red flashing, so danger or slow down, you know, and then that can lead to overeating as well. And then you lose that sensitivity of that mind body connection, which is okay. I'm good. I don't need to eat anymore. I'm satisfied. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I will add to that too, that dieting or purposely restricting actually interferes with those signals. So sometimes it can actually make hyperpalatable food even more interesting and increase our dopamine response to seeing and consuming those foods. And so that's why it's helpful to tune in instead to your body, choose foods that are health promoting and eat to satisfaction rather than purposely trying to restrict your calories, because that approach can really, you know, mess with your mind and the way that you are, you know, processing food to your mind. So, but what I wanted to ask you is your decision to become a plant-based chef. How did you go about that? And in what ways do you think that it's helped you? Like, were there things from your training that really opened your eyes about certain methods of cooking? Like, was there anything that surprised you or really changed the way that you cooked in that course?
Yeah, well, the way I found out about the plant-based program was actually through a friend of mine who is a chef herself, and she has wanted to. She was at the time was becoming more plant-based, and she's like, "Oh," and she lives in a. I'm in North Carolina. She's in Florida. She's like, "You know, I found this online program. Let's do this." And I was like, "Okay, that sounds good." Well, unfortunately, she was diagnosed with breast cancer before she could start. So thank God, you know, she's doing well now. But I went ahead and took the program. And I'm so glad I did, because I learned I cooked with ingredients I had never used before. And I learned, you know, like aquafaba, like for years, I've been pouring aquafaba down a drain. For those who don't know, aquafaba is that liquid that's in your can of beans, particularly chickpeas, when you open a can of chickpeas. That liquid is called aquafaba, and it's like liquid gold. Like, you can do so much with it, right? I've made meringue with it. Like, you whip it long enough and it becomes meringue, like, you know, what you use for a lemon meringue pie. And so just learning different things, making my own seitan, like, because I remember thinking like, I'm never making seitan. That just looks too hard, too, you know, I'll just buy it. It is the easiest thing. It really is pretty easy to. And so it takes a little bit of preparation, but, you know, so does, you know, cooking a turkey for, you know, defrosting a turkey and cooking it for, you know, what is it, 30 minutes per pound or whatever the math is. So, you know, if it to me, it was just eye-opening and fun, you know, learning how to bake a cake without eggs and just all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah. And in my book, I actually have some recipes from my mother, passed down from my mother and grandmother, that I veganized. And last Thanksgiving, I actually made my mom's dressing. Of course, it has turkey and eggs and, well, not eggs, just turkey and other, you know, non-plant-based ingredients in it. And I completely veganized it, and I made it. I gave it to my mom, and she took a bite and she said, "This tastes like Thanksgiving." And it was 100% plant-based. So, you know, just things like that have just been, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to take my own little, you know, little plate of food over there, because, you know, my family is not plant-based. But that's okay. You know, they eat some things. If they know if I'm making it, it's going to be plant-based. So I don't even tell them till afterwards when the plate is clean. I'm like, yeah, you know, that wasn't me, right? So, you know, they get it by default.
I love it. Yeah. So right now we're recording this on Thanksgiving week. So Thanksgiving is just a few days away. And I have planned 13 recipes to make, because I go nuts for Thanksgiving and then I overdo it. Then I get burned out until next Thanksgiving. But, you know, it's okay. So for Christmas, all I can do is make cinnamon rolls. I can't make any more meals than that. But I love how you brought up aquafaba. What's really interesting, like I said before, is that a lot of people think to eat plant-based, you have to sacrifice and you have to give up a lot of things. And so they'll ask like, "Oh, you can eat that plant-based? You can eat pizza and pasta? Yeah, you can eat anything. And in fact, you can make it even more health-promoting and delicious." And so it's really kind of fun to learn all these different methods. And aquafaba really is very magical. You can make even whipped cream out of it, but healthier whipped cream. So it's really cool to learn how to cook with that. And I've also learned how to make seitan. Unfortunately, I'm sensitive to wheat, but it was the best texture of seitan I ever had when I made it myself, for sure. Well, I would love to know, what do you wish more people knew?
I wish more people knew how food truly impacts their bodies. I think, like we talked earlier, you know, if you eat certain things, you feel sluggish, or you're like, "Ugh, why did I eat that?" But on a cellular level, on just the microscopic level, you know, at a blood vessel level, right? The inflammation and the common denominator and a lot of the chronic diseases that we see is inflammation, right? And so a lot of that inflammation is what we're eating and how it's processed. And so I wish more people knew just, you know, what really is in that hamburger they're eating, or what's really in that. Because, you know, they think, "Oh, well, I'm eating chicken. Chicken is fine. Chicken is healthy." But, you know, when you read that the chicken manufacturers, you know, fill that up, there's a saline solution, a salt solution that they use to inject in it to make it weigh more, right? Because, of course, you're paying by the pound, so that drives their profits. So you're getting higher salt And you don't know that. So then what do? You're adding salt when you're cooking it. And so, you know, there's just those things. And then not to mention the antibiotics and the growth hormones and all that. So people think that they're eating healthier because they're eating chicken or they're eating fish, but they're not, because, you know, the fish is from, you know, it's just, you know, if it's farm raised, and it's those same issues with antibiotics and preservatives and things like that. So I wish people really knew more about reading labels and reading and knowing truly what they're putting on their plates and how that shows up in their health. And when they go to the doctor's office, what were the things that we measure and monitor?
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. And, you know, it sounds cliche, but inflammation seems to be the foundation of most of our chronic conditions. And I wish a lot more people understood that, because it's very unknown what the power of food is. It's so powerful that you change to a whole food plant-based diet, you have to get off diabetes meds because the diet is so powerful that your blood sugars start plummeting and dropping, and it can be dangerous. And so for people that are on diabetes drugs, they have to be monitored closely. That's how powerful the diet can be. But it can apply to even these things that people don't really associate. We're getting so many autoimmune diseases now. I mean, I feel like all the advertisements on TV are for meds for autoimmune diseases, which means what? The diagnosis is on the rise, you know? So I wish a lot more people knew that what they're putting on their plate 3 to 7 times a day, because on average, we eat like 7 times a day in the United States, can really make a big difference in how they feel and their disease process.
Definitely.
All right, Dr. Monique May, tell me about the products and services you offer and how we can connect with you.
Yes. So you can, first of all, social media, I'm everywhere, even on TikTok at Physician in the Kitchen. So that's PHYSICIANN, the kitchen. But my new pantry consultation service is, you can find that at Doc Fix My Pantry. So docfixmypantry.com. My book, Doc Fix My Plate, is at docfixmyplatebook.com. And then you can always just email at info@physicianinthekitchen.net for other, you know, speaking engagements and things like that. But I'm just excited to be able to get the word out there. I have cooking classes as well, and that can be found at cookingwithdrmonique.com. So lots of different options there for you.
So the pantry evaluations are one-on-one.
Correct.
And then your cooking classes are more like group cooking classes, or are those also individual?
So they can be group, but they can also be one-on-one. And those can be like an on-demand kind of thing, or live, you know, where we just get in the kitchen together via Zoom. So a couple of different options, you know, if you want to just be able to watch it, go back and watch it in your own time, that's an option as well. But I prefer the live, because that way I can address, and, you know, the questions that people have inevitably, you know, invariably there are questions. So I like the live kind of interaction. But, you know, there can be, I've done group classes and the one-on-one as well.
Great. Now, you also have a product besides your books, though, right?
Yes.
Don't you have a Worcester sauce?
I do. I do. And I had the bottle here, but yes, vegan Worcester sauce. This has been a labor of love. And so, pop quiz, you know, for those listening, why is Worcester sauce, or W sauce? That's how I'm branding it, because, you know, most people don't like to say Worcester. But why is Worcester sauce not vegan? So I know you know, right? Mm. So for your listeners, it's not vegan because it has anchovies in it. And so, honestly, when people ask me, why was this even in your brain? And, I used to do this show. We did this segment called Vegan or Nah. And I started with just some condiments in my refrigerator. And one of them was Worcestershire sauce. And so I looked at the label and the ingredients of a leading brand, and I took a picture of it, and went home to my kitchen and which I call my lab, as I mentioned earlier. And I literally whipped up my own recipe using miso, which is a soy product, instead of the anchovies. So my product is lower in sodium and lower in sugar than the leading brands. And also, even for people who are not vegan, but have seafood or fish sensitivities, like if you ever have known anyone to react or itch when they eat Caesar salads, Same thing, anchovies are in Caesar salad dressing. So this is a good product, you know, for them as well. So, and it's delicious. It's savory, it's sweet, it's tangy. And it's a nice condiment. I tell people it's the best condiment that you're not using, the best sauce you're not using, but you need to be. So,
well, and it's a part of a lot of different recipes and different salad dressings you can make. So it's really a nice condiment to have in your kitchen. Well, that's really creative, and that's really cool that you thought to do that. So kudos on that.
That's at veganwsauce.com if to order a bottle of that.
Okay, perfect. I know that you sometimes will go to shows and things, probably just in your local area to promote it as well, right? To sell it in person.
Starting to get to that because it's a process. And so because it's an acidified product, there's certain things I have to, you know, safety wise. So worked out all those kinks. And so, yeah, getting it out there and sampling and so forth is the next step.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Monique May, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. I'm really grateful for you and how you're spreading the message of plant-based nutrition for everybody around you and helping them cook delicious foods. So thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for being on the show today. And I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Thank you. And thank you for your work as well.
Hey, veggie lover. I hope that you loved today's episode. Will you take a second and do me a huge favor? Please subscribe to my podcast so that you never miss an episode. You're the reason I'm here, and I want to share it all with you. Thank you for listening, and have a plantastic day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.